Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
They pray to God, sing a song unto the Lord. And in that atmosphere of worship, God sends an earthquake. The prison bars are busted down. The stocks are flung open. The prisoner says, man, my life's on the line. I'm supposed to guard these for my very life. And he said, now I'm sure they're all escaped. And so I'll just go ahead and kill myself. And Paul says, do thyself no harm. We ain't going nowhere. Yeah. We're all right here. Yeah. That they had opportunity to escape, but chose to stay in it. Right. And so because we understand that God is the God of all comfort. And we understand that although tribulation does come, tribulation worketh patience. We understand that Jesus said that you will have tribulation in the world. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so now then, the jailer comes in and gets gloriously born again. The same man that put the stripes on his back. The same man that whipped him. As no doubt as they preached to him the word of the Lord, that he must be born again. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And that old Puritan, everywhere he went, he preached, he must be born again. He must be born again. And then one of his colleagues said, anywhere you go, you always preach, he must be born again. And he said, why is that? And he says, because ye must be born again. That Philippian jailer who receives the new birth and repents in faith and is placed in the family of God. That one that put the stripes on him is now covering his wounds, tending his back, giving him something to eat. He's saved. His household is saved.
Yeah.
And we find the starts.
Yeah. Of the Philippian church.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Right there. In the house of the Philippian jailer. Paul now is writing to this very same group of people. He's in a different place. Matter of fact, on his third missionary journey in Ephesus, as he watches God do a similar supernatural event, as the gospel goes forth in power over the period of 2 years, The people are so affected by it that their repentance is public to the point that they are burning their books of witchcraft up to the sum of 50,000 pieces of silver.
Yeah. How about that?
And in all of that powerful display of God's grace, Paul says, I too must see Rome. I believe in Paul's mind and his heart he felt, when I get to Rome, I'm going to see something similar to this. This big imperial city. I'm going to see something big and something God did something great. And God did do a great work. But it wasn't as Paul had perceived. See, God does a work oftentimes that we can't see. But He's always doing something.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You know when Elijah went up at a King Ahab? Before he even pointed out that king's sin, before he even told the king that it wouldn't rain, God was already doing something. There was a mama raven over there feeding some baby ravens that would eventually grow up and be the very ones carrying that man of God food and meat and bread. And so he's always behind the scenes doing something. And so oftentimes our perspective of what God's doing is different than what God is actually doing. But don't let that discourage you now, because He's always doing something. So here's Paul in Rome in his second imprisonment, and it's different than what he anticipated. This imperial city, he's expecting them to just fall in open repentance and see God do a great work. Now he's in a Roman prison cell. And to be able to see that, it's a pit in the ground with a manhole on top, similar to a grate under a manhole. He's on the inside of that. If he's going to get anything to eat at all, it's because somebody threw some food down to him. If he's going to have anything, any kind of a substance, somebody's been kind enough to throw a few scraps. Maybe a Christian brother or a sister there in Rome fed him. From that place of suffering, from that place of ridicule, from that place of torments and anguish, it's possible that he spoke out up to that grate of that manhole cover and said, I think about the church in Philippi and they're heavy on my heart. And I reflect back at the day when God, and in those stripes, how God did a great work.
Yeah.
And in that season of suffering,
right,
in that season of ridicule, and all I did was what God said to do, and all I saw God do a great work and cut a church. Now I'm in this prison cell, and it's starved and wet, and I'm hungry, and folks say mean and do cruel things to me. But I can't help but think that God is the same God as He was way back then as He is today. And though I'm in another season of suffering and struggles and affliction, I know that God is going to do a great work here. And He says, hey, how about writing this down for me? Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, begins to write some things down. It's amazing to me. He goes on down and says this, but I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Here's the truth I want to leave you with, and I'm done preaching this morning. Is this. Out of suffering, there is consolation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, God, who is the God of all comfort, shall comfort you. He goes on and says, if you'll be a partaker of Christ's sufferings, you'll also be a partaker of His consolation. And that word consolation means sweet words of counsel. While I'm petting on you, while I'm cuffing on you. And so he's saying, if you'll suffer with Christ, you'll also have that comfort with Christ. And he's saying these Philippian believers, they're not understanding some things, they're not getting some things. Why is the man of God in prison? Why is he in a deep spot? Why is he alone? Why is he in this place? And Paul is saying, I want you to understand some things, guys. When you don't think God's not doing anything, that's when He's really doing His same as best for you. When Jesus said on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
It's seemingly that God had left the scene, but He was at His very best work.
Yes.
On the cross. When it's sitting there, He's left you alone. It's when He's doing the best for it. When you go to your prayer place and there's nowhere around, you say, God, where are you at?
Yeah.
That's when He's doing His best for it.
Yes.
That's when He's doing a great work for His honor and glory. And so here He's saying to them, out of this platform of suffering, suffering in the life of believers is a platform.
Yes.
The scripture was read this morning by Brother Will about the storm that came.
Yes.
Two men, they're both in the storm.
Yeah.
Two men go under the flooding waters. Two men experience the thunder and the lightning. Two men experience the torrential downpour.
Right.
One man's house crumbles and falls.
Right.
The other man is standing exposed, the rock that he's built upon.
Right.
And what a blessing it is to be able to know that God has authored the tribulation. God has authored the storm. God has made it to come about to expose who I'm built upon. To expose to the world who my master is. That they can see and believe.
Yes.
And I can't help but think that some of those prisoners in that Philippian jail were some of the first members of the Church of Pentecost. We're not that man God that was singing in here? How about that, Dad? We're going with him. And if he can sing in an atmosphere like this, and joy, then hey, we want to be with him.
Yeah.
And so God oftentimes puts us in that moment, that place of suffering, in that place of difficulty, in that place of affliction. That why? That there's somebody else in a place of affliction, somebody else in a place of hurt, somebody else in the same situation. But yet, because of the difference, is Christ Jesus on the inside. The foundation is magnified. The rock is illuminated. And folks say, wow, we know what the difference is. The difference is that this one has been born of the Spirit of God. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And this other one over here, the difference is that he doesn't know Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing to ponder. Suffering a platform to magnify Jesus Christ. The Philippian jailer, saved by the grace of God. Miraculously changed by the grace of God. The truth he wants them to understand is from God's perspective. If we're going to walk in this life in victory and in power in 2017, we're going to have to see some things from God's perspective.
Yes.
I appreciate the fact that I'm born again. God didn't save me to go crawling through my Christian life and defeat all the time, worrying. No, He saved me and put me in a valiant army. That's already Christ from the victory. And as we march onward, as we march upward, it is an amazing thing to be in the army of God. We're on the winning side. We'll begin to see things from God's perspective. The way God authors, the way God sets things up, the way that we have been placed in specific places, specific areas of our life for the glory of God. We can walk through anything that's in our path. Paul, I'm done with this. Paul's in the biggest storm of his life. The biggest storm. Acts 27. Storm called Euryclidon comes in. It's about a hurricane. They're in a bad mess. They ain't seen the sun or moon in several days. It's dark. And the boat, they find the island. And they run the boat ashore. It's busted to pieces. And all the men make it. There's Roman soldiers and other Christians. And Paul is one of these men. They make their way to shore. Some swim. Some on broken pieces of the ship. They make their way to shore.
Right.
And they're standing there. And Paul, he's busy getting sticks and building a fire.
Yeah.
And there are other men, big, muscled up Roman centurions that are supposed to be brave and all this, and they're shaking. They've almost just lost their life in a storm. They don't know what to do. Fear is possessed them. Other men are just standing around wondering what to do. And on this side is a big old bunch of barbarians. And they're watching the whole thing. They saw the ship bust up. They watch the men come to shore. They see these men affected by the storm. And they see this one man over here that is unaffected by the storm. He's just snake back his hand, shake off the fire. He's just going about. And they say, this fellow over here's got something different than what the rest of the crowd's got. To the point they even want to worship him as a god. Now I want to remind you, my friend, God will put us in a place where there's always barbarians watching. Sometimes they wear white coats with a stethoscope around their neck. And we're coming through a storm of cancer or sickness or whatever it may be. And God's got us there so that He can walk in us and through us and magnify Himself on the platform of suffering. And so that others can watch and say, man, what the difference is?
Yeah.
And they said, the difference is Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth to live in, to walk in. Paul struggled, suffered. A Philippian church is planted. He struggles, suffers in the prison, but has great encouragement that somehow God's going to get glory for this. God's concerned in the outcome, not in the temporal.
How deep the Father's
Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.